I enjoyed that. I know you did as well. While you're turning in your Bibles to Revelation 21, verses 8 through 14, I have a thank you card from Francine. It says, to my church family, I would like to thank each of you for your prayers, for the visits and the food and your friendliness. You have all... Thank you so much for what you've done. Francine, I'm having trouble. I need my glasses. I know it. I still desire your prayers. Hopefully, I will soon be able to attend church on a regular basis. Love, Francine. Amen. I got it, didn't I? I told her in maybe a month. Well, maybe 6 months, we'd run a foot race, but
Dennis will join you.
yeah, Dennis can join right in with us. He's had his issues too. I think he's still having a few issues, isn't he? We'll leave you alone, Dennis. Starting with verse 8. It said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I want to talk to you this morning about why heaven is such a special place. I preached not long ago about first 7 verses about what's not in heaven, that what will not be there that will make it a special place. And because these things are not there, it will be special. For example, in heaven, we talked about there'll be no more sickness. Won't that be a wonderful thing, not to have any more illness, not to have any more fevers, not to have any more viruses, all of that kind of thing. There'll not be any more sorrow or death. We'll never be able to escape that down here, but up in heaven, there'll be nothing to cry about. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no death. And I asked the question, can you imagine such a place where you'll have no more doctor's appointments? Seems like here lately I've either been going to the doctor or coming back, you know. But there'll be no more MRIs, no more CAT scans, and no more echocardiograms or whatever they are, no more pills, red pills, green pills, whatever pills, no more heart disease, no more cancer. We won't have to worry about folks dying of lung cancer or folks dying of brain cancer. There'll be no more diabetes, no more arthritis. I could take a survey this morning of those of you that deal with arthritis, and I figured I'd have a lot of hands being raised this morning. But there'll be no more of that. There'll be no more walkers. Praise the Lord for that. There'll be no more canes. There'll be no more wheelchairs or hospital beds. No more artificial hips. No more artificial knees. Everything is going to be the original parts in our new body. Amen? There'll not be one single funeral home. in heaven. Not one single cemetery will be there. All of these things will be missing when we get up to heaven. The scripture says there'll be no more pain. I would ask you, have any of you had a week that's been pain-free? There'll be no more pain in heaven. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more separation. You know, sometimes folks have to move. Sometimes they move across the country and we're separated. But we can see them again down here. But I also remind you that there comes a time when death comes and there's no seeing them anymore down here. There is separation. But in heaven, there'll be no separation. God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and there will be nothing there that will cause us to want to cry. That everything is going to be perfect. I can't imagine a place like that, but that's what the Bible says. This is so unlike our present state. Now, there's nothing in heaven that works abomination, the Bible said, or makes a lie. There's nothing there that is unclean. There is no crime. There is no violence of any kind. We won't have to worry about Muslim radicals. We won't have to worry about somebody just coming up and just for fun, just shooting you, you know. All of that is behind us. No, there's no crime or there's no violence. Heaven will be a special place because these things are not here. But I want to talk to you about, in verses 8 through 14, about some of the things that will be in heaven that will make it even more special. Now, God has always been with us. We know that. We know that He is omnipresent, meaning simply there is no place in this world where He is not. In fact, this morning, whether you sense it or not, the Lord is here. He is here this morning, and we need to recognize His presence, and we need to bow down before Him, and we need to praise Him this morning. He is here where two or three are gathered together in His midst, then He promises that He will be there. The psalmist said, wherever it is that I might find myself, He is there. Now, you can't see God. He is invisible. The scripture says God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, there came a time when God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, and He gave us a glimpse of God. You see, the great invisible God who is spirit became flesh and He dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was indeed God in the flesh, and we saw Him as He walked among us. Jesus Himself said, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. I've got more water jugs underneath this thing than one of these days I'm going to drink them all. In fact, the doctor said, when I had my right kidney removed, he said, Carl, you need to drink a lot of water. But I had always drank a lot of Cokes. But he told me, he said, now you can drink Diet Mountain Dew. So I changed to that. But here lately, I've gone back to water. And I don't know why I said all that. But you see, in a sense, man has seen God in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen Him in the rainbow. We have seen Him in the storm clouds. We have seen Him in the sunshine and the rain, but we see Him through a glass darkly. We have seen Him in the person of Jesus Christ, and we have seen Him in the parables. We see Him as the waiting Father that is looking for His wayward son. We see him in the miracles, and yet we have not seen him in all of his glory, but one day we will. There in heaven, we will live with him, and he will live with us. And I love this verse. The Bible said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." In other words, God is going to tabernacle with us. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. Oh, what a blessing this morning. The scriptures say, behold, down here that we're going to live with him in glory. But down here we find ourselves sometimes searching for him, waiting for him, wondering about him. But up there we will see him face to face. He will be right there with us every moment of every day. Can you imagine? The one who is the great God of heaven, that we're going to be in his presence night and, well, there won't be any night there, but daytime, all the time, eternity will end, will never end, but Jesus Christ will be there, God the Father will be there, and the Holy Spirit of God will be there, and we will see him face to face every day. We will see him, and we will know him in all of his fullness. Now, the Israelites knew him as Jehovah God. The disciples knew him as Lord and Master. But we will know him as Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There came a time that God poured out his Spirit on mankind, and he gave us an opportunity through his Son, Jesus Christ, to be saved. And there's coming a time when he is going to call this old world to a screeching halt. There'll be a time when the Lord said, it's enough, and we're going to have to account for the life that we've lived down here. Now in heaven, we will see him in all of his glory. We will see him in his omnipotent power. We will see him as he is. His presence will give light to the place, so much so that there will be no darkness, there will be no night there. Listen, heaven will be special, first of all, because God is there. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, our Lord, or our God, which is in heaven. God will be there. You see, the one who created the world, he will be there. The one who formed you in the mother's womb, he will be there. The one who died for you on the cross of Calvary, he will be there. We'll be able to see those nail-scarred hands. We'll be able to see the scars on his brow. We'll be able to see that wound in his side. He will be there. Can you imagine looking into the very face of God himself? Can you imagine sitting at the feet of the great God of heaven? Can you imagine walking with him and talking with him and sharing your heart with him? Can you imagine the opportunity to tell him face to face, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for putting my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Can you imagine being able to talk to him and thank him for all that he has done? All the redeemed saints of God will be in heaven. Abraham, the father of the faithful, he'll be there. So will Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. So will Noah, Moses, and David, and Daniel, and Joshua, just to name a few. All of these believed that God would send a Redeemer in the fullness of time, that he would send a Redeemer. And because of their faith, they were counted righteous. Peter and Andrew, James and John, all the disciples of Christ, who believed in him that he was indeed the Messiah of God and trusting him for salvation, they will all be there. all of those from every nation, regardless of their race or skin color, they will be there. If they have called upon the name of the Lord God of heaven, believing in their hearts that Jesus is Savior and Lord of heaven, they will be there. I can see Zacchaeus, that little Jew, that tax collector that was hated by so many. But he wanted to see the Lord, and so he climbed up into a sycamore tree, being short of stature. But the Lord knew his heart. The Lord knew he was there. And the Bible tells us that he called Zacchaeus to come down. He said, I'm going to your house that day. And not only did he go to his house, but he saved him that day. One of the two thieves that was crucified beside of Jesus, just before he died, he looked over to Jesus. And he recognized him to be more than just a man. He recognized him to be more than just a prophet. He recognized him to be the very Son of God. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus, knowing his heart that it was sincere, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Many of you that are here this morning, perhaps all of you, have loved ones who are in heaven. Oh, I have loved ones. How many of you have loved ones this morning that's already in heaven? You see, it won't be bad, will it, when we cross over and go to the other side? Oh, we'll leave some folks down here behind. But, you know, as we get older, there seems like there's more and more on the other side that'll welcome us home. And I look forward to the day that I'll be able to go and see my loved ones. They lived the life of faith, and right now they're in the very presence of God. Heaven will be special not only because God is there, but because of all the redeemed saints of God, including a lot of our loved ones. They're going to be there. And I believe they're in that stadium that it talks about in Hebrews, in that stadium of folks looking down as we run the race of life. And I think they're encouraging. I think they're calling on us, keep on keeping on, don't quit. You're almost to the finish line. Keep on keeping on. Cross that line. Will we know them when we get there? Yeah, we will. I'm going to tell you, if we didn't know them, it would not be heaven, would it? It says we'll know as we're known. And you see, the truth of the matter is, God gave us a soul, and the soul will never die. It's hard for us to understand that death is just a laying down of the robe of flesh, but the soul, the real living part of you, never dies. It takes leave of the body. When that loved one breathes their last down here, the next breath is up there. They just slipped out. This old body turns back to dust, isn't it? It's frail. It's fragile. I'm going to tell you, you're just passing through down here. You're not going to stay here forever. All you've got to do is look in a mirror, and you can see that there used to not be wrinkles, and, you know, there used to be some hair, and you used to could hear without, yeah, your grinders are grinding low. Thank goodness for dentists. Joe, I need some new glasses too. Heaven will be special. But on the authority of God's word, we're going to see our loved ones once again. And that's what makes it so special. The Lord is there. We're going to see him. But our loved ones will be there. And I'm going to tell you, we'll get to serve the Lord together for the rest of eternity. Heaven is a place of beauty and splendor. I can't fathom a place like he described here in Revelation 21. I want us to get a glimpse of what John saw. He describes it as a holy city, which just simply signifies purity. He called it New Jerusalem. John said it's prepared for God and his people as a bride is prepared for her husband. God calls on you and me to live holy, pure lives. And one reason is that when the time comes that we go to heaven, that we'll fit into our new residence. You see, everybody that's a Christian down here that lives by Christian principles puts Christ first in their life. We're preparing ourselves, getting the dross moved off, getting all of that burned out in our lives so that we will be more pure. And wherein we come up short, the blood of Christ makes the difference. John described it as a city which had high walls around it. This signifies protection. Heaven is a safe place. You won't have to have any burglar alarms. There's nothing there that can harm you. You'll be perfectly safe in heaven. The walls around the city have gates. The gates signify provision. In heaven, you'll not want for anything. You know, down here, we want a lot of things, don't we? You know, we have I want this. And a lot of times, that's how we pray. Lord, I need this. And Lord, I need that. And then we thank you, say, well, thank you, Lord, for giving me all this. I know it's coming. Well, I do want to remind you this morning that whatever it is that you need, you'll have it. And whatever it is that maybe you want, I don't think you'll want it or need it. The Bible tells us there are three gates on the east, three on the west, three on the north, and three on the south. Kind of reminds me of whosoever will, let him come. Heaven is accessible to all. In fact, it said there are 12 angels, one at each gate. And I believe they're there to serve as the Lord's welcoming committee. They'll usher us in and help us to find our mansion. And there's one just for you and just for me. The holy city is four square. That signifies perfection. Heaven is a perfect, perfect place. That means that everything up there is just right. Have any of you complained or griped or anything this last week? You better get it all done down here because in heaven there'll not be any griping, any complaining. The food will be scrumptious. I hope they have beef there and not a lot of chicken, you know. The fellowship will be delightful. There'll be no big eyes or little U's in heaven. We'll all be alike. And according to the scripture, the beauty of heaven will just simply be breathtaking. Walls that will be of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. In fact, verse 18 said the city itself is pure gold. Can you imagine that? The Lamb's Book of Life will be there. Verse 27. It says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus gave his life blood on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, that we might be saved, that we might make heaven our home. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that book that we're talking about here is his book. It is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Those whose names are written therein have eternal life with him in heaven. Those whose names are not written therein will be turned away. He will say, I do not know you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And they will be cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many will say in that day, Lord, Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And the Lord said, I will say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Jesus also said, not every one who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. An important question. Is your name written down in the Lamb's book of life? Are you sure your name is written down in the book of life? If it is, you will get there one day. I don't know when the Lord has in mind for me. And I pray every day, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be faithful to you this day and the rest of my life. But Lord, when you're through with me, I want you to take me home, because I kind of yearn for the other side. I'm glad that when I was 14, I asked the Lord to come into my heart, and he wrote my name down in his book. I'm going to tell you, that was the most important thing that I could have ever done. There's a lot of things that have been important in my life. God's been good to me. But the most important thing that I could ever do is to let him come into my life and be my Savior and Lord, and have my name recorded in the Lamb's book of life. You may be wondering, can a person know for sure that his or her name is in the book? The answer is yes. John said in John 20, verse 31, I've written these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Then John says it this way too. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. He that hath the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son has not life. Here it is, pure and simple. If you have Jesus in your life, your name is recorded in the Lamb's book of life. If there is any doubt that your name is in the book, then by all means, take action this morning. This is too big. It is too important to play around with. It is a life and death situation. And by that, I mean eternal life, eternal death situation. You see, you're not going to be here forever. You know, I look in the obituary, you know, I tell you this all the time, but I look in the paper, I look at the front page, I look at the sports page in that order, and then I look at the obituary page. It's right behind the sports. I don't know why they put it there, but you know, folks are dying, and they don't have to be up in years. A lot of them are young. A lot of them are middle-aged. Some of them are old. But I'm here to tell you, make sure your name's recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. I want to see every single one of you in heaven. I've made up my mind when I was 14, I was going to heaven. I had nightmares about that place called hell. And it didn't take me long to figure out I didn't want to go there, because hell is real. The fire is real. But that's only part of the torments of hell. It says torments, plural. You see, there'll be the torment of separation from the Lord, the torment of being able to call out upon God and know that he has an attentive ear. It'll not be there in hell. You see, all the lust of the flesh, all the pride of life and the things of this world that'll nag and gnaw at you, they'll be there in hell. So I'm here to tell you, there's no comparison, is there? I mean, I want to go to heaven. And I think everybody here wants to go too. That's why you're here today. But if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure, I want you to make sure. I want you to make sure by coming this morning to these altars, and we'll pray together, and you can leave here knowing thoroughly, thoroughly that I'm right with God. Let's bow for prayer.